This week, I received a fascinating story about a ruffed grouse by Al Hoppula. His daughter, Keeley Todd, sent it to me. As she notes, the story is a beautiful testament to her father's concern for the preservation of all wildlife. Al Hoppula writes, "We don't very often have the opportunity to interact with a wild creature that is hunted and one that has a natural fear of man. In fall 2004, I had the good fortune to establish a two-month relationship with a young female ruffed grouse that I assumed to be the lone survivor of a late hatch. She began following me whenever I walked a certain part of my trail system, and as we walked, she would break off blades of grass and spit them toward me. I didn't know if she was offering them to me or if she was warning me to stay away from her territory. In about mid-September, I began cutting an area of mature mountain maple to create some deer habitat. The grouse seemed to be attracted to the sound of the chainsaw because as soon as I started it, she would appear and stand between my feet as I worked. At times, she would stand so close to the chain that I would have to quit cutting for fear of hurting her. When I dragged the brush to the pile, she would follow so closely that at times she would get rolled over. That didn't seem to bother her, however, because she would get back up and continue to follow me. After a while, it reached the point that she would appear within less than a minute when I called her, and when I sat on a log to rest, she would sit beside me. She seemed quite content because she would settle down, fluff up her feathers, and make a chirping sound deep in her chest. At this point, my opinion of her changed from goofy chicken to pretty bird. I had never realized how beautiful the color patterns are on a grouse's back. At first, she wouldn't let me touch her, but after a few days, she allowed me to stroke her head and back. This finally progressed to the point where she would sit on my arm, and it was kind of spooky to be eyeball to eyeball, less than a foot away, and each of us wondering what the other was thinking. She had several other vocalizations in addition to the contented sound that she made when she sat beside me. If a person that she wasn't familiar with showed up, her crest would rise slightly and she would utter a low clucking sound. One day when we were seated on the log, her crest came up. She cocked her head and let out a sharp whistle to let me know that there was an eagle directly overhead. She also made a keening sound when she appeared to be upset with me. This was accompanied by a display of throwing leaves over her back. Eventually, our relationship progressed to where she would walk up my arm and perch on my shoulder while I walked around. Once in a while, she would give my ear a painful pinch, but I endured it in the interest of friendship. I tried to get her to ride on my ATV, but as soon as I started the engine, she would jump off. If I began moving, she would chase the wheel like a dog or peck at the amber reflector on the footrest. The last day that I had her was Election Day, November 2nd. She was especially insistent that I let her ride on my shoulder, and when I didn't, she would follow me and tug at my pants cuffs. I was piling brush when I heard her flopping on the ground in her death throes. I don't know whether I stepped on her or if she died for some other reason. I had seen her eating large chunks from a mushroom earlier that day. Although I am deeply saddened by her death, I am consoled by the fact that she made the first move and I let our friendship progress at her pace." That charming story was by Al Hoppula. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.